You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast, but before we get started, I wanted to tell you about an exciting opportunity for you and the leaders you know this fall, the Pipeline Conference. Our team, the Lifeway Leadership Team, is hosting Pipeline on October 13 in Nashville. And it's a conference unlike others you've probably been to because it's a training conference, an event that will show you and your church leadership team how to launch a leadership pipeline. You'll hear from speakers such as Tom Rayner, Eric Geiger, Kerry Newhoff, and Paul Tripp. We'll have plenary sessions interspersed with shorter, practical TED-style talks. We'll have Q&As with the speakers to clarify and apply what was said, and we'll also offer a second day built around coaching and implementation that will have limited seating. And we really want you to join us. Go to myleadershippipeline.com to learn more and to register. Pricing is affordable, and we're offering an early bird discount through the end of July, so you want to move quickly. Again, go to myleadershippipeline.com for more information and to register. We look forward to seeing you there. Enjoy the podcast. Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, here with Todd Adkins.
What?
The director of leadership here at Lifeway.
Yes.
Not that you can tell by his ridiculous greetings. Today,
that's what leadership is, man.
What, it's ridiculous greetings?
It is. It's extroversion.
Extroversion. That's true. The stereotype of leadership is being loud, being outspoken.
Sometimes being obnoxious.
Yes, being obnoxious on occasion, putting your opinions out there. But we do have a voice who you haven't heard yet, and that's because Kevin Spratt, our team member, who we've made fun of on this podcast a time or three, is an introvert. And we thought about doing this entire podcast with just me and Todd talking about extroversion and introversion with Kevin sitting there staring at us.
That would have been so much
fun. As sort of an inside joke, but you wouldn't have picked up on it because it's an audio medium. So, Kevin, welcome to the podcast about introverted leadership. Thank you for nodding at me. Use your words.
Yes, use my words. Yes, I'm an introvert. I'm not an extrovert.
That is what we're talking about today. We're going to ask 5 questions about introverted leadership, introverted leaders. If you follow Tom Rayner's podcast, Rayner on Leadership, you will have probably heard some of this. He is a... if you can be an outspoken introvert, Tom Rayner is one.
Yes. He's about as introverted as I've ever met.
We have like a Tom Rayner bingo game when he gives employee presentations, when he mentions his grandkids, when he mentions his fellow VPs to make fun of them.
Alabama football,
and introversion. Those would be key things on the Tom Rayner bingo.
Introverts work well with scripts.
Yes, and he works
social scripts is what we go by.
So let me jump in with the first question. So we've thrown out the word introversion a few times, probably some misconceptions about that word. So what is the definition of an introvert? Not the Webster's definition, but like a working definition that people can use in a context that's actually helpful.
I looked this up right before we got on here and pulled it up on my phone, and It says shy and reticent, and I'm like, that's not even close to being right.
I would define it as what gives you energy. Do people give you energy, or do they suck the energy out of you?
Thank you, Myers-Briggs. Because that's basically the way.
Well, you're an INTJ. If you want to go there this quickly, Kevin is an INTJ, which is either really valuable or borderline sociopath.
Bringing all of Todd's one-liners to this and just answering with...
Yeah, you can have Todd one-liner bingo, too.
So I thought that would be a good way to start. But yeah, I mean, to Todd's point, yes, it's introverts. I think a lot of it has to do with where are you energized?
Right.
A lot of people think that an introvert is somebody who just does not like people. And that's completely... untrue. I wouldn't have 3 kids if I didn't like people.
Although they also take away energy.
They also take away lots of energy.
I think extroverts become sort of borderline introverts when they have kids, because your kids take all your energy, and then after a while you're like, I don't want to be around people. I just want quiet.
My daughter, Addie, she's 7. Now, there's things that go along with being a 7-year-old and energy levels for sure, but my daughter is for sure an extrovert. And when she gets in a room and she gets with a bunch of people, I mean, that would push her – the first 2 hours of the day, that would push her through the rest of the day, and she would continue to jabber on and on and on. My son, however, and myself are both introverts. We both will come back and, you know, we appreciate hanging around with people, but at the same time – like today, I had lunch with my family, and JB was here, and he and I connect over lunch a lot differently than my daughter. My daughter wants to go and say hello to everybody, but with he and I it's yes, he and I, we can basically just sit and, you know, eat a bowl of chips and be done and and have quality time together. So I think it's just how you introversion is more of, I think, a lot about how you engage people and how you
and
how
I think it's on I think we have to remember it's on a gradient too, because if somebody was an extreme introvert, so on the Myers-Briggs, if they pushed it all the way to the extreme, they would be socially incapable.
Like
they
would,
and the same would go for extroversion. Like that person, you would have to lock up because they would
awkward.
Be insufferable.
Yeah.
So there, it's a sliding scale, and I think somebody like me, I lean extrovert, but I'm fairly middling on the scale. And I think some of that has moved. I used to be more extroverted. I'm more introverted now, and I blame my children for that in part.
I would call myself a functioning extrovert. I can function in that realm.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, you know, even like this weekend, my wife and daughter were out at a retreat, and I just – words cannot express how much the time that I appreciated from 8 o'clock when both the boys went down to bed until about 11 o'clock where I had – 3 hours to do literally whatever I wanted to do and do it by myself.
Yes. No. And I think everybody ends up needing time by themselves.
Yes. I think that's a fair statement.
And so I think
I need more time.
I think
by
that
myself.
Energizing thing is important, but I think how you interact with people is also important, because think about walking into a room full of people who are just acquaintances or you don't really know. There are people who are they're walking around, they're meeting everybody, they love to greet people. Yeah. And then there are these stand in the corner types who are observing the room, who are happy to be there. And then there are people who just, they don't want to be there at all. They're like, this is the worst. And so it's sort of like that, again, that sliding scale. And so one of these is not necessarily better than the other, but just it's good to know where you stand, because sometimes it will create a challenge that you have to overcome, and sometimes it's an asset. And we'll get to some of those things in a minute. Let's get to our second question. Todd made the joke right off the top that leadership was about being upfront and outspoken and bold.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And he was speaking tongue-in-cheek, but the question is introversion a setback in leadership, especially since the stereotype of a leader is bold and outspoken?
I had a really great learning scenario for me when I first started kind of professionally, vocationally. I worked at a camp in West Kentucky, and at the end of the summer, they did this big montage video. If you've ever been a part of camp life, they do this what's called the staff video, and they stitch together all these moments from all the staffers and all the kind of inside jokes that happen over the course of 6 to 8 weeks. And because when you have 40 staffers that are all hanging out together, there are a lot of things that you just can't explain and you want to capture on video after the fact.
Stuff happens.
And then you suddenly don't
happens.
Want on video after yes. the fact.
Yeah. Which it really – the moment that it really dawned on me was when they taped my segment. And so I'm associate director, and they taped my segment. And all they'd had me do was stand against a wall with my sunglasses on and just stand there. And I thought, well, this is odd.
So it was just clip after clip
just
of you
clip,
standing
just
there.
Clip after clip of me standing
Kevin
there.
Standing against a tree.
Yes, it's exactly.
Here's Kevin standing in a corner.
It's exactly what it ended up being. But couple that with couple that. End of the summer evaluations that we got back, and just how did you work with other staffers and directors, and a lot of my evaluations came across of I thought Kevin was a jerk. I thought Kevin, you know, didn't like me. And when you deal with 20 to 25 year olds who have this really like just inferiority
I'm
complex.
Trying to not
like,
to make Kevin as a jerk joke.
I know, right?
It's really hard.
It's really hard because I am that guy on our team. But all that to say, what I really figured out, especially after I've taken, you know, personality tests and strengths finders and all those different things, what I came to find out was that I've got to be really intentional about reaching out to people, because, you know, introverts, you talk about definition. I think everybody's an introvert and extrovert, but I think that's a you all have said this on the podcast before when we talk about personality tests, but it's what you have a tendency to go back to, whether it's in extreme circumstances when you're stressed or just your natural state when you come back in, you know, where do you feel most comfortable? And when I learned in trying to lead that staff and becoming a director of those 40 staffers is that I've got to be really cognizant about how I come across to people and how I personify myself really more than anything else, and that kind of Because that it, I look at the evaluations. I can see where people thought that I didn't like them or didn't want to have anything to do with them, which was totally not true. Some of them I didn't.
You know, the question being,
that's always the case.
Is introversion a setback? And I would say either introversion or extroversion is a setback if you don't balance yourself well.
If you don't have intelligence.
If you don't have emotional intelligence or just the putting yourself in a good framework of saying, hey, most of the time we tend to recruit people or we tend to hire people that are like us. And that is the exact opposite thing that you should do, especially if you have a small team. And as you grow in leadership and have a broader team, you need a couple of those people closer to you because at the end of the day, a lot of extroverted leaders have a tendency to talk and talk and talk and talk, and they talk so much that that to the detriment of actually getting things done and accomplished. They don't listen long enough to their team to actually understand what's going on and the direction that they need to go. And so it's about editing. And, you know, those that don't do often teach. So I know that that is something that I struggle with, and I constantly have to remind myself.
Don't work, often dream.
what I have a tendency to do is to say, hey, you know, I'm just wanting to say to extroverted leaders, you know, you gathering a fistful of business cards at your next event or at your next networking opportunity is not necessarily meaningful.
Yeah, that's not a useful metric for success.
No, it's not. Whereas, you know, having that quiet conversation over in the corner or having three conversations that are meaningful instead of 15 is probably a better thing. And it's not to say that extroverted people don't do stuff. It's to say that as you go into different positions, you are going to have to figure out what things energize you, what things you just have to muster up the strength to do on a daily basis to get stuff done. I may have to muster up the strength to get some things that, you know, introverted people, it energizes them or it, you know, it just comes more naturally. It doesn't mean I don't have to, but I have to do those things. I have to do some of those things.
Well, it's about routine. I mean, you know, we're in a state of transition here at Lifeway and the, you know, moving pieces. I try to stack all my meetings on Mondays and Wednesdays
because I made you stack all your meetings on Mondays and Wednesdays.
No, you never did tell me that.
Our team is a mobile team and we have to stack all of our stuff on 2 days of the week. I don't know if this was a podcast that we did this podcast or it was the New Churches podcast where we talked about mobile work. Was that
it might have come up on this one?
But you know, there's things that we have to do in order to
the thing is that Mondays and Wednesdays are exhausting because all I'm doing all day long is meeting with people and trying to, you know, get work done. I have to get work done through people, and so I have to put on my happy face and
not be a jerk.
But you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays are really my days to just knock it out of the park on all those things that I can't get to on Mondays and Wednesdays.
And the flip side of that is that for a more extroverted person, a day full of meetings can feel like you've accomplished a lot of stuff, but at the end of the day, all you've really added is about 25 things to your to-do list and a bunch of emails as follow-ups, and no work has gotten done. And so it does take it takes discipline on both sides to step into the world at which you're not as excited about and to knock those things out.
Yeah, and I would say that I think as I've reflected on the conversation that we were going to have, because I was a nervous wreck thinking about this this weekend going, I've got to be on the podcast on Monday. It's really about I think probably the biggest weakness, at least that I can see in my own life, and I think this might be true of all introverts, is just being unsure of themselves in scenarios and really kind of putting themselves out there, I think is probably one of the biggest setbacks that they can have because I naturally don't want to be out in front. Right. And so my encouragement to introverts is really to put yourself out there a little bit and not really put yourself, like almost go to extreme, because even your extreme is not going to be is not going to be.
You're not becoming a circus clown.
You're not going to be a circus clown. And people will engage with you, and I think you'll find deeper relationships, meaningful conversation that can happen, and you'll get further down in your work that you need to.
And if you, I mean, you know, you got to get over that. It's not, it is passive somewhat, you know, the whole shyness thing that came up in the very beginning. You're going to have to get out there and feel like when you are confident that something needs to be said, you need to say it. And if there you've got a leader that, you know, isn't comfortable with that, then you need to probably find a different person to serve alongside, because extroverted leaders who are extroverted leaders, either they know and understand that that's just part of it, or they're just looking for somebody to execute their stuff. And life is too short to work with somebody who just wants you to execute their vision, and that's it, in my opinion.
Well, let's move on to our third question. We've touched on some of it, and this is going to be some generalizations. So we're going to paint with a bit of a broad brush, because introvert is not—
We already have.
Yes. Well, introvert is not a personality type. Introvert is a characteristic, and it can come in a ton of flavors with a ton of different strengths and weaknesses. You can have introverted creative people and introverted, you know, spreadsheet people and introverted people of all types. But the question is, what are the unique strengths of an introverted leader? So what does an introverted leader bring to the table that's sort of unique to that trait, that mindset?
I think we're better. That's not a good
one. Go with that. We'll fight with you.
I think we're better. Well, that's the truth, Kevin.
That's why I'm a jerk.
I'm just shy about it.
I think I'm better.
Right. Well, that's why this podcast is great for me, because it's just the two of you. If we're in a room, I would just completely shut down, and if there are 1,000 people in the room.
You're just going to sit on the side with your sunglasses on.
And judge
everyone.
I've thrown those sunglasses away since then. I do think that one of the bigger strengths, and this goes back to the people, do I like people? Yes, I really enjoy having people. I am married. I have 3 children. I enjoy going to church and being in part of small group. But I think that's where the line really is for me, is that I don't mind. I'll go to a party, but I'll be kind of the wallflower at the party. But what I would rather do is find 3 or 4 people for us to sit at a meal and to have a conversation. And I think when you're trying to build relationships and trying to, like, if you're at a church, I think that in those scenarios, I feel like I do better at really engaging with somebody and hearing what they have to say. If you're talking about from a business standpoint, it's really negotiating some of those finer points and saying, hey, this is why it makes sense for this partnership to happen. Where I think sometimes an extrovert has a tendency to do bigger, broader strokes. Yeah. It's when you do have that charismatic leader who, and I've been around a number of these that, I mean, they see you, but they don't hear you. Like, they know you, they recognize your name, they can have a conversation.
They kind of see you as part of the whole instead of, like, you as Kevin or you as Todd.
I would rather spend my time in a long, intentional conversation than small talk. Small talk.
And that is a strength in leadership, because, if you're leading a small team, that the smaller context is the team. If you're leading a large organization, like, say, Lifeway or a division at Lifeway or something like that, it still gives you a way to – you're basically drilling deep into the mindsets, the weaknesses, the strengths, the problems, the solutions – of different people at a time. And so you gain a different depth of understanding, whereas the more upfront extroverted leader is going to be a mouthpiece. It's going to have a vision. It's going to be, but might not be taking into account the feelings, the weaknesses, the strengths of individuals in quite the same way. So they do balance each other well. And that's why somebody like, say, Tom Rainer has people around him who are more, they're more out there and boisterous and extroverted.
Ed Stetzer,
Brad Wagner, some of these people who are, they're going to go out and shake all the hands, you know?
Yeah, they know everybody. They want to know everybody. They get connected easily.
But they balance each other, because one will be only in smaller contexts in a comfort zone, and the others will only be kind of out there. But the two together can create a full context of what healthy leadership looks like.
And two, you know, we're talking about the strengths of introverts, and I think one of the greatest ones is to be able to critique. As long as they are engaged, they're able to be very focused on, you know, strategy and planning. And, you know, you can take a look at Dr. Enner as an example and what he's done at this organization, and you go, okay, what he does in the church. And, you know, a lot of it is super practical. And it's just amazing that so many people, what is typically seen as leadership, get caught up in the poetry, and they don't focus on the plumbing, on what needs to be done in the day to day.
Todd, bingo.
There's a one-liner.
One-liner bingo. Yes. Poetry and plumbing. You're going to hear that one coming up, folks. It's going to keep on coming.
It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be awesome. At least what I noticed when thinking through this question specifically is Jim Collins, Good to Great. The level five leader, at least in my mind, as he described the level five leaders, especially those who were most successful, to me at least, seemed more like introverts. They weren't your charismatic leaders. They were those who had spent a lot of time in the details trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
They took ownership when, you know, things failed, but at the same time, they weren't this, you know, and I guess in my mind, at least, as he painted those pictures, those companies that really were flash in the pan situations, they were big and boisterous and charismatic, and then you saw their companies just plummet. So,
guys like Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and any number of other CEOs along those lines. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, those are all introverted leaders, and they're. All of those guys are upfront leaders. Like, you will see them up front. You know, Steve Jobs was famous for his presentations.
Yep.
But you didn't see him between presentations.
That's
he
right.
He was in the details, in the weeds, figuring out how to make the best thing and focus on what they needed to do well. And I think, I mean, Todd touched on this using the word critique. I think another thing that introverted leaders tend to be better at than extroverted leaders is observation, which goes hand in hand with listening. So you listen, you observe. I mean, part of the reason Dr. Rayner has been effective is because he can see the trends in a church, in a business, and say, that is a wrong that needs to be righted. That's a thing that needs to be corrected. That's something we can address. There's a practical solution to that. Whereas if you're constantly talking, you're only thinking about what you have to say and very little about what's happening around you. And obviously, that is a broad brush on extroverts. Extroverts can be good observers, but introverts, I think, tend to have greater strengths in those areas.
They're processing more.
The reason why I used critique earlier is because it leads well into our next question, which is, what are the unique challenges of an introverted leader? So I think without the right heart and attitude, an introverted leader, while critique can be a very positive,
it can right the ship sometimes, yeah.
They also might have a tendency to be a critic. And there's a difference between critiquing and being a critic.
Yeah, critiquing and being critical are two very different things.
One of them brings a positive alternative to the table. A critique says, "Here's what I see that could use a solution, and here's a solution." And criticism says, "Here's what I see that's a problem, and it's stupid."
Well, yeah,
and it
can be a toxic.
Yeah.
Underbelly. Yeah. You could be one of the worst things that happened to your organization because you don't ever voice your opinion in public. You voice it to your, you know, the people in your circle.
You sort of erode the foundation of things quietly underneath.
And you may have some good points.
I think you might
have some good points, but you may lack the sight to see the overall. I'm not saying that I'm not trying to associate optimism and pessimism with extroversion and introversion.
Presentation.
Yeah, it's an expression.
Everything has to do with the presentation. I mean, that's why I was a jerk at camp, because there's some things that I could have said differently that would have led to different conclusions. I mean, I never forget a guy that sat on a golf cart with him. He's like, man, I just thought we would be close. And I was like, dude, we have nothing in common. There's nothing. We will never be close. Like, that's just unreasonable to think about.
So you're saying there's a chance?
None. No. One in a million. It is presentation. Even when I transitioned from, I've had five jobs at Lifeway and been with Todd the longest. I guess he's the only one that can put up with me the most. Definitely as I've grown in especially in this position in leadership on our team, a lot of my work has shifted from very succinct tasks oriented to more relationship driven. And so presentation is everything. Absolutely go in and say, hey, here's some thoughts. But then also being willing to say that I'm not an expert on everything, and that I don't know everything, and really kind of taking an attitude and a humble heart about it.
And I wrote the question as challenges of an introverted leader, because it'd be very easy to sit here and point out things that are perceived character flaws or annoying things. And I wanted to take the conversation to the place of, if there are people who see themselves as introverts listening, what are some things that they are going to be they're going to face the challenges, and then how can they overcome them? So things like the perception issue that Kevin addresses is a significant one. If you're quiet and you keep to yourself, you leave a lot of blank space for people to misinterpret who you are and what you mean. You could be the sweetest, kindest person in the world, but people won't know that because you're not saying much.
If there's a vacuum, they're going to fill in the blank.
Right. And they'll probably be wrong, and people are not usually overly gracious in their assumptions. So that's a challenge, because that does require putting yourself out there to express yourself a certain way.
There's a leadership team at a church growing up that I just to kind of think made me think through this is that you had a group of several different introverts. You had the whole leadership team seems like they're introverts with the exception of a couple, and you had varying degrees of introversion, and the ones that were probably more introverted than the rest, there always seemed to be a little bit of conflict with, from a standpoint of, well, he's a jerk, or he doesn't like what I have to say, or he doesn't want to build relationships. And that couldn't be further from the truth, other than the fact that none of the other introverts had taken time to get to know the other introverts. I mean, there's more issues that are underlying there, but...
This is introvert
church leadership
teams are introverts on introverts. I mean,
introvert on introvert crime.
Yeah, I mean, it was you know, and so
it's
there
so
was
passive
a,
aggressive.
It was so passive aggressive, and so there's a lot of assumptions that were made. I mean, and it just I kind of sat back and went, are you serious? Like you haven't even taken the time to get to know them, like,
right?
It is a challenge. It is a challenge to not be overly critical. It's a challenge to really kind of put yourself out there and be willing to be noticed. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, is just be willing to be noticed. You have something to say. You're where you're at for a reason.
And sometimes leaders have to be a buck stopper. And I think if you're a person who is more inclined to sit back, to process, it takes an additional sort of challenging step to step forward and say, and here's the decision that has been made. You know, to stand up in a room full of people and say, here's where we're going. Because that's a bold vision casting kind of thing, which may go counter to a personality. And so somebody with an extroverted tendency is going to get there too quickly. Right. An introvert might get there too slowly. Right. And so that's just going to be the challenge of stepping up. And again, neither one is stronger than the other. I did want to mention, I mentioned this book to you guys beforehand. Neither of you had read it. You both should. There's a book called Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Won't Stop Talking by Susan Cain. And it's mostly about introverts in the workplace. And so she does a phenomenal job of laying out strengths, weaknesses, challenges, things like that. It's a really interesting read. She sort of writes in a Malcolm Gladwell-ish kind of way, where there's a lot of stories. It's not, you know, all in research and
stuff.
Did
you read that book in preparation for this interview? Because you give Geiger a hard time for writing notes.
No. I read the book 2 or 3 years ago because I worked at a company.
TED Talk?
She did a TED Talk, yeah. I read it a couple years ago because I was working at a company that was mostly introverts, and I was the one who was just constantly rocking the boat. And I was like, what do I do with these people? I do not understand their brains. Which leads us to our fifth question, which is, what are some practical tips for extroverts working with introverts and vice versa? So how do you build an effective working relationship with somebody who processes things and relationships so differently?
I already threw one out there, and that was basically if you are an extrovert, you need to stop talking and ask questions because you will miss out on something that someone has to say that is on your team that has valuable insight into where you guys are going and what you're doing. It's not all vision casting. That you are going to have to ask them questions to draw it out, and maybe more than one question. And because they're not, you can ask them an open-ended question, or if they're going to answer the question that you ask, they're not going to go typically into.
Yeah, you're not hitting play
that's
on
a,
the.
That's a processing. So, that's a processing thing. So you know, and this doesn't have to do necessarily with introverts. Some people process out loud. Some people process internally. Todd, I think, processes out loud a lot.
And on whiteboards.
And on whiteboards.
And on walls when they're
Post-it
on whiteboards.
Notes and everything else. But all that to say.
Visually.
I live out loud, baby.
But I would also say that an introvert is trying to process whether they're going to do that verbally. So, yes, they've got to listen. But I would say that, you know, it may take a little bit more time for an introvert to adequately express what they're trying to say. And so because they're processing in their head as they're going. And,
yes.
And sometimes they do need to take a walk and or walk away from the issue and then come back with, hey, here are four or five things. And I think that's what, as an extroverted leader leading an introvert, you could do is giving them an opportunity to process, to walk away, let them process. I think that's just a good general rule for anybody in a brainstorm meeting is, hey, you've had time to marinate on this. Let's come back and
another way to do that would be to give information in advance of the meeting so they can come with their ideas prepared. So I process things in the moment, sometimes out loud, but pretty quickly, which means a brainstorming meeting, I like to come out of those with decisions.
Right.
That doesn't work for people who collect information, process it, and come back with decisions, which are often better decisions because they've taken a little bit more time. And so for me, it is a conscientious thing where I either need to get the data to somebody in advance so that they can look it over and come ready, or give them time afterwards and say, all right, let's touch base again in a couple days and see what we're going to do with this. Because otherwise, I'm only playing to my strengths and I'm actually crippling somebody who has really good input and decisions.
Yeah. And I think and this kind of works in tandem as well, I think some of this has to do with team dynamics. And I read a Harvard Business Review article on this. And basically, you know, there is something to be said to and I think there's obviously biblical context for this. We need to share the Bible a little bit in this, right?
So Go for it. Making me feel guilty.
But I think there is something to be said about breaking bread together, whether that be last minute, hey, let's all grab lunch together, or let's walk and grab coffee. I think that helps on both sides. Mm-hmm. I think for an extroverted leader, it shows that he's got an investment and wants to do something more than just small talk, especially, hey, how's life going? Hey, how, you know, I heard somebody was sick or you know, we've got a team member who Kaylee's, you know, pregnant and we'll have a baby here in a month or so. And so just kind of checking in on those certain things. I mean, even for me as an introvert, I've got to remember to do that. But
extroverts do too, because extroverts, depending on the mindset, can easily just get into like, we just start mowing through business stuff. So we're going to talk about the next project we're working on and the next big idea we have. And we forget, like, how are you feeling?
Or,
you
know, if we
or
go
you,
out
you
to
just
lunch,
went to your grandma's funeral or something.
It's just a party. It's not necessarily.
It's all jokes and not really kind of seeing how people are doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that there's so much that can be done just sitting across from somebody and not having necessarily any agenda. I think for introverts who are A-type personalities like myself, sometimes I use lunch as a, hey, I've got these three other things that I want to talk to you about, and we're going to talk about them right now.
It's meeting overflow.
Yeah, and so we're going to talk about those regardless of whether you want to. And so I know I've got to check myself and just, hey, how's life in general? Hey, did you see, you know, Jimmy Fallon last night? I mean, whatever that might be, I think that's a—
We do endorse Jimmy Fallon.
We do?
We do. Absolutely.
Okay, I guess so.
But I think
Kevin's
going to
start singing the Tight Pants song here in a second.
Everybody's talking about my— Anyway, but I think that's something introverts and extroverts can learn from each other. I think it's building team, I think. But I think anything that you would say in this last question, I think— goes both ways equally.
Yes.
I don't think that. I think it's a conversation about team building. What are some ways that you can build team and lead others, earn respect?
I would say one thing to fellow extroverts, and that is, it is because introverts are more reserved. it is easy to think that they need to step my direction instead of realizing that I can step their direction and just as easily bridge the same gap. Yeah. I can ask the same questions. I can be more intentional. I can put them in a context that they're more comfortable, as opposed to just saying, why don't you just talk more?
Right.
Why don't you ask better questions?
Well,
why don't you speak up?
I do think that one of the things, a practical takeaway from this should be going back, and I can't remember what episode number it would be, but I know we did one on personality and personality tests and mm-hmm. why they're effective or why to use them. It's really important.
Yeah, that was one of the earlier ones we did, so go back in the archives.
What the personality makeup is on your team.
Yes.
Because one of the biggest practical tips I would have is knowing how different people handle conflict. Because if someone is, you know, an introvert, and if they are lean more toward a task-oriented introvert, they may have, you know, they're going to, if they are coming into a conflict situation, they're going to have things very well lined out. And on the other side, if the extrovert is a people pleaser, they may fold or they may try to persuade you or they're probably going to shift the blame.
Yeah,
if that
excuses.
Extrovert is aggressive on the task-oriented side, so if you have an aggressive, task-oriented extrovert, then it's going to go very, very badly.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to be it's going to be you know, those
it's
types of extroverts
kind of
tend to attack and overwhelm.
Well,
So we listen to that podcast seriously. I think it would be very helpful for you to have that practical guide, and it'll talk about some of the different tools that you can use, mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Yeah, and because the best coach, and I remember that episode, but I mean the best coaches. Know their individual players and what buttons to push to get them to do what they need, what you ultimately need to do.
Yeah, it's not a one-size-fits-all.
It's not a one-size-fits-all because you want to watch a introvert's ears turn red and go flush, have a leader reprimand them with a group of people, because at that moment they will shut down.
Right. There's all of those things are true. And so I think for any leader on either side, it is a matter of focusing on the individual strengths, weaknesses, tendencies, using evaluations, using personal conversations just to figure out what does this person need in this given moment to motivate, to encourage, to speed up or slow down or whatever needs to happen. I hope that some of the things we've said have been helpful, and if not, at least mildly entertaining to see some of our team dynamics at play.
Yep.
It's like this most of the time, except we're usually meaner to each other than this, in the most loving way possible.
That's Christ-like, God-honoring way.
That's right. We pick on each other in all Christian love. We do appreciate you listening. If you have not, I don't think I've made this plea in a little while. If you haven't, jump on iTunes and leave us a rating and review. What that does is that helps iTunes move us up in the rankings so that other people can find it. It also helps Todd's employee review when he goes in to talk to his boss. And so we all want to help him out too. So jump on iTunes, leave us a rating and review. Thanks so much for listening and tune in next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. As you go, don't forget to visit myleadershippipeline.com to learn more about our upcoming Pipeline Conference. It will be on October 13th in Nashville, Tennessee. And early bird pricing runs through July, so move quickly to register. Again, that website is myleadershippipeline.com. We look forward to seeing you there.